Pokemon NBA recap. Today is Tuesday, April 26th, and we had three games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Brooklyn, the 2-7 matchup at the Eastern Conference, and the Celtics defeated the Nets, completing the series sweep 4-0. They beat the Nets 116-112, so that series is now over. The Celtics are advancing to the second round, and the Nets are eliminated from the postseason. In the 4-5 matchup in the Eastern Conference in Philadelphia, the 76ers were defeated by the Raptors, 103-88. So that series is now 3-2 and we'll head back to Toronto for Game 6. And finally, in Dallas, the 4-5 matchup of the Western Conference, the Mavericks defeated the Jazz, 102-77. So that series is also now 3-2. So we'll break down all three of those games in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off in Brooklyn, the Nets defeated by the Celtics, 116-112. They are swept out of the postseason entirely after being one of the preseason favorites to win the title. And the Celtics now advance to the second round of the playoffs after looking completely dominant over the Nets in that first round series sweep. The Celtics won this game 116-112 thanks to another solid game from Jason Tatum, 29 points. And they also got 22 from Jaylen Brown and 20-11 from Marcus Smart. Whereas the Nets were led by Kevin Durant, he had 39. And they also got 23 from Seth Curry, 20 points from Kyrie Irving. But unfortunately for the Nets, this was just another case of a close game in the end that could have gone either way, but the Celtics' late-game execution was just a little bit better than the Nets. They did well to get back into the game. By the end of the fourth quarter, it was really close, but then in the final, 2 minutes, the Celtics just pulled away and were able to defeat the Nets for the fourth consecutive time. And Boston actually led the majority of this game. They had got out to a hot start in the first quarter. Derek White, about halfway through the first, got an and one, and that put the Celtics up by double digits. It was 22-12 with 4:47 left on the clock. But then by the end of the first quarter, the Nets had cut it to within just 4 points. It was 30-26. And then it was back and forth for a few minutes in the second. The Celtics re-extended a lead a couple of different times. And ultimately, heading into halftime, it was an 8-point advantage after a little late spurt at the end of the second half, or second quarter, I should say, by Boston. It was 58-50. And then they continued to build upon that lead in the third quarter. They were actually quite dominant in the third. They probably won the game in the third quarter. They ultimately outscored the Nets 32-28, but at one point, they were up by 15 points. At the end of the third quarter, with 36 seconds to go, it was a 15-point lead for the Celtics. It was 90-75 after another bucket from Derek White. So it looked like the Celtics might be able to cruise to victory in the fourth quarter, but the Nets did show excellent resolve in the fourth, and they came storming back. They slowly started to chip away at that lead throughout the fourth quarter. Ultimately, they outscored the Celtics 34-26 in the fourth. So down the stretch, it was actually really close. Kevin Durant was on fire in the fourth quarter. He had 12 points. And then the other three scorers for the Nets were Goran Dragic, Kyrie Irving, and Seth Curry. Those four were the only players on the roster for the Nets to score in the fourth quarter, whereas the Celtics were also being led by four guys in the fourth: Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, and Jason Tatum. Smart actually led the way in the final period. He had 10 points, including three clutch three-pointers in the fourth. So impressive scoring by both teams' top guys, but ultimately the Celtics were just able to fend off the Nets' comeback attempt. But to get there in the first place, it was a pretty impressive run. So starting off with about 5 minutes to go, Jaylen Brown actually got an and-one, 16-foot pull-up jump shot. He was fouled by Kyrie Irving. This was 5:07 left on the clock. He made the bucket and the free throw, so that put the Celtics up by six. It was 105-99 at that point. And then Marcus Smart actually followed that up 30 seconds later with a tip shot that put the Celtics up by eight. It was 107-99. So even after a pretty impressive comeback up to this point by the Nets, the Celtics were still extending that lead to nearly double digits. But then at that point, 4:19 left on the clock, Kevin Durant hits a 13-footer, cutting the deficit to six. And then Kyrie Irving follows that up with a layup with 3:42 left on the clock. So just like that, the Nets within 4 points. It's 107-103. But then Marcus Smart quickly responds with a layup himself, re-extending that lead to 6 points. It was 109-103. So at this point, it feels like time is running out for the Nets. Blake Griffin then proceeds to miss a three-point attempt with about 3 minutes left on the clock. But then at this point, things started to turn in favor of Brooklyn. So first, the Celtics have the ball. Jason Tatum commits an offensive foul. It was a questionable call, to say the least. And in fact, the officiating throughout this entire game was really poor. Several of Tatum's fouls, in fact, especially his fifth one, were questionable, to say the least. But nonetheless, that was his sixth foul, so he was out of the game at that point. I thought maybe Ime Udoka would challenge that call, but he did not. So Tatum was out of the game. And then after a missed 12-footer from Kevin Durant, the Nets actually got the offensive rebound, and Al Horford commits a loose ball foul. So they get the ball back for a second attempt, and Kyrie Irving drills a dagger three-pointer from 32 feet out off of a Kevin Durant assist. And that one really felt like a momentum changer. The crowd was obviously really fired up, and it seemed like the Nets might just be able to pull out this game. And then, despite a couple of missed shots, first from Al Horford and then from Kyrie Irving, the Celtics had the ball, but they again turn it over. Jaylen Brown loses it off of a Kevin Durant steal. Then there was a foul on Brown. Eventually, another clutch bucket for the Nets. This time it was Kevin Durant with a 14-foot driving floating jump shot with 1:28 left on the clock. So just like that, the Nets are within 1 point. It was 109-108. And like I said, they had all the momentum at this point, but that's where the Celtics really showed their championship resolve, because they were able to close this game out from there on out. They ultimately ended up with a 4-point advantage by the end of this game. So going from being up by one to up by four at the end in the final like minute or two of this game, all without their best player and their leading scorer, Jason Tatum, even more impressive. So it started with about a minute left on the clock. So first, Jaylen Brown, he gets a layup. That one extends the lead to three. It was 111-108. And then it was really frantic and frenzied at this point. Kevin Durant missed a pull-up jump shot. Marcus Smart gets a clutch defensive rebound. Then Kyrie Irving actually blocks Marcus Smart's driving floating jump shot attempt with 30 seconds left on the clock. The Celtics were doing their best to run the clock out. And off of the miss, they get an offensive rebound. Eventually, Jaylen Brown misses a 19-foot pull-up jump shot. Kevin Durant gets the rebound, and he goes to the free throw line. It was actually a really boneheaded foul by Marcus Smart on Durant. He fouls him with 22 seconds on the clock, and like I said, the Nets are down by three, so they have a chance to cut it to within one. Durant goes to the line, he knocks down the first, but then the incredible free throw shooter throughout his career, Kevin Durant, he misses the second one. That was really deflating for Brooklyn. They would have been down by just one, but then instead the Celtics have the ball up two, and there was some questionable defense, to say the least, from the Nets on this next possession. They opted not to immediately foul. They wanted to see if they could get a quick steal instead, but that turned into a mistake because they try and trap in the backcourt, but it doesn't work. The Celtics are able to get the ball up to Marcus Smart. He gets an easy look at a layup, but he misses it, but then Al Horford is right there for the offensive rebound and tip-in with 13 seconds left, and that was basically the death knell for this game. That put the Celtics up by four with 13 seconds to go. I mean, it wasn't completely out of the realm of possibility that the Nets could catch up, but it was highly, highly unlikely at that point. So the Celtics basically just cruised to victory from there on out. The Nets call a timeout. They get Seth Curry and Patty Mills into the game, and Kevin Durant misses a three-point attempt. That one obviously closed it out. Then the Celtics get the ball back. This time they do immediately foul Marcus Smart. He goes to the line, and he knocks them both down coolly. So really clutch free throws from Smart, the defensive player of the year. And at that point, the Celtics are up by six with just 7 seconds to go. It's 115-109. And so it's pretty much over at that point. Kevin Durant actually does hit a three-pointer. It's a one-legged three-pointer with 3 seconds on the clock, but it really doesn't matter. They foul Marcus Smart. He makes one of two, but that's all they needed. If he would have missed both of them, they technically could have tied it with a three-pointer, a miracle three-pointer, but he did hit one of the two. So Kyrie Irving basically just let the clock run out at that point. So that was all she wrote for this game. Another impressive win for the Celtics. It was four close games in a row, so credit to the Nets for at least sticking around in these games. And it's kind of tough to evaluate because of that. Like, do you give credit to the Celtics for showing resolve and being able to win these close games? Or do you say, this is a 2-7 matchup. The Celtics are supposed to be one of the best teams in the league. Why were all these games so close? Why couldn't you just close this team out more easily? But then, on the other hand, you could say, well, it's not easy to sweep no matter what the circumstances are, unless it's just like a completely, hugely imbalanced matchup. It's never going to be easy to close a team out in four games without losing one, as the 76ers can attest to, or the Heat, or the Suns. Like, it's never easy to close a team out. And so, I guess, ultimately, I would say impressive win for the Celtics to win in four. Impressive resolve shown by the Nets to keep these games close, but ultimately, mostly, this is just a disappointing end for Brooklyn, who, like I said, had aspirations to win a championship at the beginning of the season. You had Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. They looked like a stacked team, but ultimately things went haywire pretty quickly, with Kyrie Irving missing the majority of the season, James Harden getting disgruntled for the second season in a row subsequently, and ultimately forcing his way out. Then, of course, once they got Ben Simmons, you had that whole saga, his return, or ultimately his lack thereof. And then, of course, you also had Joe Harris missing almost the entire season. That was a huge loss for the Nets that sort of just fell by the wayside with all the other drama. And so ultimately, a tumultuous season ends in a first-round sweep for the Brooklyn Nets, and this has to be looked at as one of Kevin Durant's most disappointing playoff performances. He showed up in a couple of games, but then he was really bad in a few of the other games. He ended up with a bunch of turnovers, and he was just not at his best, nor was Kyrie Irving. He really struggled in, like, three of the four games. He was dominant in that first game, obviously, but then since then, he didn't really ever get going offensively. And so disappointment, to be sure, for the Nets, but maybe, just maybe, if they can get all their guys back and healthy, like Ben Simmons and Joe Harris, they might be a force to be reckoned with next season. But there's nothing that can be said with certainty about this team at this point. Whereas the Celtics should be very impressed with themselves, advancing to the second round in emphatic fashion. We will obviously be previewing that next series when it comes about. It's probably going to be the Milwaukee Bucks facing off against the Boston Celtics, which is going to be an absolutely juicy matchup. And so, assuming the Bucks can finish off the Bulls, we will preview that second round matchup as soon as possible. So, just to finish off a few more stats on this game specifically, they were all pretty close, as you might expect. The Celtics had a slight edge in terms of three-point shooting, and in terms of the rebounding, they out-rebounded the Nets 45-38. But on the other hand, Brooklyn had a slight edge in terms of the turnovers, 10-13, and in terms of the field goal percentage overall, it was 50% shooting for Brooklyn, whereas the Celtics were 47%. So, all things considered, it was a really close matchup, but that three-point shooting was really clutch for Boston. Overall, they were 14 of 35 from three, whereas the Nets were 13 of 35. Oh, and then one other area where the Celtics had a big advantage was the free throw shooting. They were 18 of 22 from the line, 81%, whereas the Nets 17 of 29, 58%, thanks in large part to Nick Claxton going 1 of 11 from the free throw line. That was really damaging to this Brooklyn Nets team. He surpasses Shaquille O'Neal's record for most misses from the free throw line without a make. That was really brutal. It was really just deflating for the Nets every time Claxton would go to the line because he was just so terrible. And ultimately, Kevin Durant going 10 of 11 and Kyrie Irving going 6 of 6 from the free throw line were not able to overcome that horrible free throw shooting from Claxton. And that was in the end, that was one of the big reasons why they ended up losing this game. But anyways, we can move on now to the box score, and the Celtics were led, as I mentioned, by Jason Tatum. He had 29 points in 36 minutes, and he was his usual efficient self, 9 of 16 from the field, 4 of 6 from beyond the arc, and 7 of 8 from the free throw line. He also had 3 rebounds, 5 assists. Now, he did have 6 turnovers, and eventually he fouled out of this game, but still, he was plus 10 in the plus-minus. That was the team high. So, an incredible performance from Jason Tatum, and there's been a lot of discussion recently about the leap that he is currently making from very good star player to superstar status. Going toe-to-toe with Kevin Durant is not something that very many guys in this league can do, and he absolutely not only did that, but exceeded expectations. He was better than Kevin Durant. So we'll see if he can keep this up throughout the playoffs. He's going to be going up against a guy by the name of Giannis Antetokounmpo in the next series, so we'll see how that matchup turns out. But anyways, they also got 22 points from Jaylen Brown and 20 points from Marcus Smart. And those two were really carrying the team down the stretch after Jason Tatum fouled out. So Brown with 22, he was 9 of 20 from the field, 4 of 5 from the free throw line, although he was 0 of 5 from beyond the arc. He had 8 rebounds and 3 assists, though. And then Smart with the double-double, 20 points, 11 assists, and 5 rebounds. He was 7 of 16 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, and he was plus 9 in the plus-minus. So despite the slightly inefficient scoring, otherwise really good stuff from the backcourt there, Smart and Brown. And then they also got 13 points from Al Horford, the veteran. In 26 minutes, he was 5 of 9 from the field, 3 of 5 from beyond the arc, and he had 6 rebounds, just 1 turnover. And then they also got 6 points from Daniel Tice, rounding out the starting lineup. He had 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, and I would assume that he will be replaced by Robert Williams by the start of the next series, as they should have a bit of a rest here, and Williams should be able to get all the way back to fully healthy and replace Tice in that starting lineup. But off the bench for the Celtics, they did get 14 points from Grant Williams. He was on fire in this game. 5 of 8 from the field, 4 of 6 from three. He had a couple of timely three-pointers, and he had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 blocks as well. And then 9 points from Derek White in 27 minutes. He was 4 of 10 from the field, 0 of 4 from beyond the arc, but he had 6 rebounds, 2 assists. And then the aforementioned Robert Williams had 3 points in 14 minutes, 5 rebounds in that time. And Peyton Pritchard just saw the court for 9 minutes, and he was 0 of 2 from the field. And as for the Brooklyn Nets, they were led by Kevin Durant. He had 39 points in 47 minutes, although it wasn't the most efficient 39. He was 13 of 31 from the field, 3 of 11 from beyond the arc. He was 10 of 11 from the free throw line, though, and he had 7 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal. He also had 4 turnovers. And then they got 23 points from Seth Curry. He was on fire, 9 of 13 from the field, 5 of 9 from 3. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 blocks as well. Really good stuff for Curry. And then 20 points for Kyrie Irving. Like I said, he was pretty solid in 45 minutes, 6 of 13 from the field, but 2 of 3 from beyond the arc and 6 of 6 from the free throw line. So you would have preferred for Irving to be dominating this game, inserting himself a little bit more, but nonetheless, the efficiency was pretty good for Irving. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 blocks. And then they just got 2 points from the other two starters. Brown had the 2 points in 24 minutes. Bruce Brown, that is. He was 1 of 3 from the field, and he had 2 rebounds and 2 assists. And then Andre Drummond just played 4 minutes before going out of this game, and he did not score at all in that time. And off the bench for the Nets, they got 13 points from Nick Claxton. He played 23 minutes. He was perfect from the field, 6 of 6, but absolutely atrocious from the free throw line, 1 of 11. That is just, honestly, it was one of the biggest reasons why they lost this game. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks, though. So if it wasn't for the free throws, he would have had a fantastic per-minute game with the perfect field goal percentage and the production throughout the box score, but that free throw shooting was just abysmal. And then they also got 10 points from Goran Dragic in 24 minutes. He was 4 of 6 from the field. He had 2 threes, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. 5 points for Patty Mills in 19 minutes. He had 1 three-pointer, 2 rebounds. And Blake Griffin saw the court for 18 minutes, and he did not score at all. He was 0 of 3 from the field, but he was providing some much-needed energy and enthusiasm, and he was actually the team high, plus 10 in the plus-minus in his 18 minutes, which is not surprising if you saw him on the court. He was, like, putting his body on the line. He drew a charge, as he typically does. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. All right, next up we can move on to Philadelphia, where the 76ers defeated by the Toronto Raptors 103-88. This is the second win in a row for Toronto after being down 3-0. The 76ers had a chance to close this series out in Toronto, but they won that game, and then now they've come into Philadelphia and won a second consecutive game, and they were led in this one by Pascal Siakam. He had 23 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists, leading the team in all 3 categories. And then they also got 16 points from Gary Trent, and 16 as well from OG Anunoby, 17 points off the bench from Precious Achiuwa. Whereas the 76ers were led by Joel Embiid, he had 20 points and 11 rebounds. And then they also got double-digit scoring from the 4 other starters, including 16 points from Tobias Harris, 15 from James Harden. But in the end, this was a really disappointing loss for the 76ers. Just managing 88 points is shocking, quite frankly. And it was really the second quarter where the 76ers lost this one, specifically the beginning of the second quarter. There was just a stretch of like 5 minutes where the 76ers could not buy a bucket. They were just scoreless for minutes on end. And it was specifically when Paul Reed was in the game in place of Joel Embiid. Interestingly, all 4 of the starters for the 76ers other than Embiid were like at least negative 10 in the plus minus. Embiid was just negative 4, and then Reed off the bench was negative 11. So when he was in the game with the other starters other than Embiid, they were really struggling, and they allowed the Raptors to get out to a double-digit lead, and then they pretty much just maintained that double-digit lead throughout the rest of the game. They went into halftime with a 13-point lead. It was 54-41. And then Philly did claw into that lead just a little bit in the third quarter. It was within double digits heading into the fourth. It was 66-75, so a very low scoring game. But then the Raptors reestablished dominance in the fourth quarter, specifically down the stretch. In the end, the 76ers offense was just so staccato. Like, they just couldn't get anything going consistently other than a 3-pointer from James Harden with 3:13 on the clock. That one cut the deficit to 12. It was 94-82. But other than that, it was really poor execution down the stretch. And overall, in this game, the 76ers were pretty terrible. 38% from the field, 27% from three. And then they didn't help themselves with the ball handling. They had 16 turnovers. That is just really disappointing. James Harden had 5 turnovers. Joel Embiid had 4. The Raptors, despite being without their lead ball handler, Fred VanVleet, only had 9 turnovers. And they actually had a pretty significant edge in terms of the field goal percentage. They were 51% from the field, although they also didn't shoot the three ball very well. They were only 25% from three. But honestly, I would say this had more to do with the 76ers just playing terribly than it did with the Raptors playing well. That 38% field goal percentage, really, really disappointing for Philadelphia. You had Tobias Harris going 6 of 16 from the field, Tyrese Maxey 5 of 14 off the bench, Matisse Thybulle played 14 minutes, he was 1 of 6 from the field, looked a little rusty after missing those two games in Toronto, so really disappointing stuff for Philadelphia, allowing the Raptors to win a second consecutive game when it looked like they had a chance to close this series out with a sweep. We are now headed to Game 6 in Toronto, where the Raptors have a chance to even the series 3-all. And of course, no team has ever come back from being down 3-0, and I don't suspect that that's going to happen in this series, but it is not very encouraging from the 76ers' perspective to see the Raptors win two games in a row, despite all the injuries that they're dealing with, and despite the fact that overall, the 76ers are probably the more talented team, with obviously the best player available in Joel Embiid. So anyways, we can move on now to the box score. And the Raps were led, as I mentioned, by Pascal Siakam. He led the team in points, rebounds, and assists. He had 23, 10, and 7. And he was quite efficient as well. 10 of 17 from the field, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc. And then he was plus 24 in the plus minus. That was the team high. So incredible stuff overall from Siakam in 44 minutes. And then they also got 16 points from OG Anunoby and Gary Trent Jr. Anunoby in 39 minutes was 7 of 15 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. And then 16 points for Trent Jr. as well. He was less efficient, 5 of 14 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 3 assists, 1 rebound, 2 steals. And then the rookie, Scottie Barnes, back into the starting lineup. He had 12 points and 8 rebounds in 41 minutes, and he was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 4 assists and 3 steals. So really good to see him back on the court for Toronto. And then Kem Birch rounding out the starting lineup as Fred VanVleet was unavailable. Birch only played 11 minutes, and he had 7 points on 3 of 6 shooting in that time. And off the bench for the Raptors, they got 17 points from Precious Achiuwa, the backup big man. He played 27 minutes in this game, and he was really incredible once again. 7 of 11 from the field. He had 7 rebounds and 3 blocks, and he was plus 10 in the plus minus, 0 turnovers as well. So another good game for Achiuwa. He's had a fantastic series thus far. And then they also got 6 points from Chris Boucher. In 17 minutes, he was 3 of 5 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 2 blocks, and 3 points for Thaddeus Young. In 16 minutes, he had 3 rebounds and 3 assists. And then 5 other guys also saw the court very briefly at the very end of this game in garbage time for the Raptors. Yuta Watanabe, Malachi Flynn, Delano Banton, Sfi Mikhailiuk, and Armani Brooks. Anyways, as for the 76ers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Joel Embiid, but he didn't have the most dominant game by his standards. 20 points and 11 rebounds in 40 minutes. He was 7 of 15 from the field, 0 of 4 from beyond the arc, although he was 6 of 6 from the free throw line. He did have 4 assists, but he had 0 steals, 0 blocks, 4 turnovers, and 5 fouls. And then the rest of the starters all scored in double digits. Tobias Harris had 16 points in 44 minutes, but like I said, not very efficient. 6 of 16 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. 14 points for Danny Green, the veteran shooter. He was 5 of 10 from the field, 4 of 9 from beyond the arc, and he had 4 rebounds. And then 15 points for James Harden in 40 minutes, but he was 4 of 11 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 5 turnovers. So all things considered, not the most effective game for Harden, to say the least. And then Tyrese Maxey was actually the team low in plus minus negative 16. The sophomore had 12 points in 42 minutes, and he was 5 of 14 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 4 assists. So pretty disappointing output from most of the starters, but especially the backcourt, Tyrese Maxey and James Harden. And off the bench for the 76ers, they just got 3 points from George Niang in 13 minutes, 3 points as well from Furkan Korkmaz at the very end of the game, and then 2 points from Matisse Thybulle, but like I said, he was 1 of 6 from the field, and 3 points for Paul Reed, but he was 1 of 4 from the field. All right, and finally, we can move on to Dallas, where the Mavericks easily defeated the Utah Jazz, 102-77. They now take a 3-2 series lead and will head back to Salt Lake City for Game 6, where the Mavs will have a chance to put the Jazz out of their misery and win this series in 6 games. Luka Doncic led the way for the Mavericks. He had 33 points, 13 rebounds, and 5 assists, leading the team in all 3 categories. Definitely his best game since returning. And then they also got 24 points from Jalen Brunson and 13 points from Dorian Finney-Smith. Whereas the Jazz were led by Jordan Clarkson off the bench, he had 20 points, and then Rudy Gobert had a double-double in the starting lineup, 17 points, 11 rebounds. Other than those two, no player on the roster for the Jazz scored in double digits, and the rest of the starters were atrocious, abysmal. Royce O'Neal, 5 points on 2 of 6 shooting. Bojan Bogdanović, 0 of 9 from the field for just 2 points. Mike Conley had 4 points on 1 of 6 shooting, and then Donovan Mitchell had 9 points on 4 of 15 shooting. Honestly, it almost seemed like they were trying to lose this game. They were just awful, just completely terrible, totally outplayed by the Mavericks from the jump, basically. I mean, they were competitive in the first quarter. It ended up being a 6-point game. It was 24-18 heading into the second quarter, but then that's where things really started to fall apart for the Jazz. They just could not buy a bucket for a stretch of like 5 minutes at the end of the second quarter, and they allowed the Mavericks to build up a double-digit lead. Overall, the Mavericks outscored the Jazz 28-18 in the second. So heading into halftime, it was a 16-point advantage for Dallas. It was 52-36, and then they just expanded upon that lead even further in the third quarter. It was a complete blowout by the fourth. Luka Doncic hit a running pull-up 30-footer with 3:40 on the clock that put the Mavericks up by 33 points. It was 79-46. That was really the exclamation point on this incredible run for the Mavericks, and then they pretty much cruised to victory from there on out. Complete garbage time throughout the fourth quarter. In the end, the Jazz were 37% from the field, 10% from three. They were 3 of 30 from beyond the arc as a team. Royce O'Neal, 1 of 5 from beyond the arc. Bojan Bogdanović, 0 of 5. Mike Conley, 0 of 3. Donovan Mitchell, 0 of 7. Juancho Hernangomez, 1 of 5. Jordan Clarkson, 0 of 4. Really brutal three-point shooting and shooting overall for the Jazz. They also had 13 turnovers, and they were out-rebounded for good measure by the Mavericks, 40-49. So complete capitulation in this game by the Jazz. The Mavericks didn't even really have to do that much. They were 43% from the field, 27% from three, so they weren't exactly lighting the world on fire, but obviously that's still significantly better than what the Jazz did. So an easy win in Dallas for the Mavericks, and like I said, they have a chance to close this series out in Game 6 in Utah. That game is going to be in 2 nights on Thursday, April the 28th. All right, so anyways, we can move on now to the box score, and the Jazz were led, as I mentioned, by Jordan Clarkson off the bench. He had 20 points in 32 minutes. He was actually fairly efficient from the field overall, 9 of 15 and 2 of 2 from the free throw line, but he was 0 of 4 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. He was negative 17 in the plus-minus, which is not great, but wasn't even close to being the team low. We'll get to them in the starting lineup in just a second. But first, we'll start with the good, Rudy Gobert. He had 17 points, 11 rebounds in 27 minutes. He was 6 of 7 from the field, 5 of 7 from the free throw line, and he had 1 steal. He had 5 fouls. He was negative 8 in the plus minus. The next leading scorer in the starting lineup was Donovan Mitchell. He had 9 points in 32 minutes. He was 4 of 15 from the field, 0 of 7 from 3, and he just had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. He had 4 turnovers, and he was the team low in the plus minus, negative 38 in his 32 minutes. Incredible. Negative 38 in 32 minutes, Donovan Mitchell. And then his partner in the backcourt, Mike Conley, had just 4 points. He was 1 of 6 from the field, 0 of 3 from beyond the arc. He did have 5 assists, at the very least. And then 5 points for Royce O'Neal. In 22 minutes, he was 2 of 6 from the field. He was negative 29. He had 3 rebounds. And then Bojan Bogdanović rounding out the starting lineup was brutal as well. 2 points on 0 of 9 shooting. He had 1 rebound, 1 assist. He was negative 37 in the plus-minus. So Bogdanović and Mitchell were the two culprits in terms of being on the court while the Mavs were going on their crazy runs in the middle of the second and middle of the third quarters. Anyways, off the bench for the Jazz, besides Jordan Clarkson, they also got 8 points from Daniel House in 23 minutes. He had 4 rebounds. 5 points for Juancho Hernan Gomez. He was 2 of 6 from the field in 19 minutes, 1 of 5 from three. And then 2 points for Hassan Whiteside, the backup big man. He had 6 rebounds. And then in garbage time at the very end of the game, Eric Paschal, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and the rookie Jared Butler saw the court briefly, and Alexander-Walker actually had 5 points in that time. So if I was Quinn Snyder, I would just say, screw it. In game six, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Jared Butler, go crazy. Let's just see what you guys can do, because honestly, I have zero faith in the rest of these guys to make anything happen in game six. I would be surprised if the Mavericks don't win game six, even though it's in Utah. So anyways, as for the Mavericks, they were led by Luka. He had 33 points, 13 rebounds, and 5 assists in 33 minutes. Very productive game. He was 11 of 22 from the field, 3 of 10 from beyond the arc, and 8 of 12 from the free throw line. He did have 5 turnovers, but still, he was plus 32 in the plus-minus, which was the team high. And then they got 24 points from Jalen Brunson in 27 minutes. He was 9 of 20 from the field. He was 1 of 7 from beyond the arc, but 5 of 5 from the free throw line, and he had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. And then they also got 13 points from Dorian Finney-Smith in 41 minutes. He was 4 of 11 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. 9 points for Reggie Bullock in 31 minutes. He was 3 of 9 from beyond the arc, and he had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. And then 8 points for Dwight Powell. In 20 minutes, he was perfect, 4 of 4 from the field, and he had 4 rebounds. And off the bench for the Mavericks, they got 9 points from Spencer Dinwiddie. He was 3 of 8 from the field in 28 minutes, and he had 4 rebounds. And then 4 points for Trey Burke in 5 minutes of garbage time at the end of the game. The rest of the guys off the bench didn't do a whole lot. Josh Green saw the court for 14 minutes, but he was 0 of 3 from the field, didn't score at all in that time. Maxi Kleba also did not score at all in his 20 minutes. He was 0 of 1 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, though, and he was plus 15 in that time. And then just 2 points from Marquese Chris, also in garbage time, and nobody else off the bench scored at all for the Mavericks. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown, so we can now move on to our preview for tonight, Tuesday, April the 26th, and once again, we have 3 games on in the NBA today, starting off in Miami, the 1-8 matchup of the Eastern Conference. The Heat have a 3-1 series lead, and they look to close this series out in Miami, and they are big favorites. They are -6.5. In Memphis, we have the 2-7 matchup of the Western Conference. It is tied 2-2 between the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves, and the Grizz are favored in this game. They are -6. And finally, the surprisingly competitive 1-8 matchup of the Western Conference, the Suns taking on the Pelicans in Phoenix for Game 5. That series also tied 2-2, and the Suns are big favorites in Game 5. They are -6.5. All right, so we have 3 pretty significant lines here. All of the home teams and higher seeds are favored by at least 6 points, which is not something that we've seen very, very often in the playoffs thus far. Apart from like the Warriors, there hasn't really been that many blowouts projected by Vegas. There's been a lot of close games projected, and we've actually gotten a lot of close games in some of these series. So seeing all these big lines is a bit surprising, but when you think about each game individually, it kind of makes sense. So the Heat, this one obviously is the most logical just because they're up 3-1. They have a chance to close the series out in the 5th game here of the 1-8 matchup in the Eastern Conference. The Hawks did well to win one of the 2 games in Atlanta, but the Heat really should be closing this series out if the regular season was any indication for these 2 teams. I would expect they will, and I would not be surprised if they won pretty significantly, so I think that line makes sense, Heat -6.5. But that being said, I could also see the Hawks being resilient. Trae Young is capable of going off for like 35, 40 points in any given game, so I'm just a little bit scared off by that 6.5-point line. If it was a little bit lower, I would probably take the Heat, but ultimately I think it's going to be a stay away from me. And then I was very tempted by the other 2 matchups as well. Ultimately, we've just got 1 best bet, but I was really tempted to take the Grizzlies -6 at home versus the Timberwolves because they were a much better team throughout the regular season, and I think they will comfortably win this game. But the Timberwolves, they just have so much offensive firepower with Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards that they could come in and steal any game in Memphis. They've already shown that they have the capability of doing that. So I do think the Grizz will win this game. I think they can cover that line, but these teams are both just a bit inconsistent. So ultimately, I'm going to stay away from that one as well. So we just got 1 best bet, and it's going to be the New Orleans Pelicans +6.5 in Phoenix. I just cannot get enough of this Pelicans team. As crazy as it seems, I do not think it would be out of the realm of possibility for them to steal this series after the Suns came in as presumptive finals favorites. I mean, they seemed like the best bet to win the entire NBA championship prior to the playoffs starting. But with the Devin Booker injury and the Pelicans really just firing on all cylinders like they are, I can't bet against them right now. I think the Suns will probably win this game, but I think it's going to be a close one. I think they can just eke it out in the end with Chris Paul executing down the stretch. Obviously, it could balloon to like a 7, 8, 9, 10-point lead. Hopefully, that won't happen. I don't think it will, though. I think the Pelicans can keep it close, and I think they could even steal this game, quite frankly. They probably won't, but Brandon Ingram has been playing out of his mind. He's playing like an all-NBA level right now. Obviously, he wasn't doing this throughout the regular season, but at the moment, he looks like one of the most dynamic scoring forwards in the entire league. So I don't know if they're going to win it, but I think they can at the very least keep it close. So we're going to take the Pelicans plus 6.5 in Phoenix. Really excited for that game and all the action for tonight. But that will do it for us today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all three of those games and to preview the action for Wednesday, April the 27th. So until then, thanks for tuning in.